Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
You ready for a quarterback sneak?
0 for 4 last week on fourth down.
Here it comes.
Yep. And there's the sneak. Fields dives forward. Does he have enough? It looks like he does. Andy Dalton limping off the field after a 14-yard run. Justin Fields on. Did he get enough on the sneak? He did not. And the Bengals defense turns the rookie away. First completion for Fields. Motion from Cole Kmet. From the 49 on first down. Bengals bring five. The pressure gets to Fields, and down he goes. Hubbard and Hendrickson met at the former Buckeye, and Sam Hubbard treating a fellow Buckeye wrong there with the sack. Third down and 8. Bengals bring five-man pressure. Fields in trouble. Ball is out. Loose on the turf, and Fields is able to recover it. Logan Wilson had a chance for a scoop and score after the Hendrickson strip, and it bounded away from Wilson, and Fields got it back. Montgomery in motion. Graham to the bottom of the screen and flags.
He's moving. Fields is moving too much.
False start. Offense, number one. 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
Is this just rookie anxiousness of a big moment?
This is his second one. He's trying to talk to the official saying, hey, what's going on here? He wants the ball. He's trying to get the... Yeah, you see him. He's trying to get the ball from the center, expecting it a little sooner, and his momentum's already ready to go. He's just got to settle down just a little bit. You know, calm down just a tick. I know you're excited, big guy. I know those butterflies are going, but the biggest thing here is you gotta understand those anxious feelings and get those butterflies to fly in formation for you. You just gotta nail it down. You really gotta lock in here, and they can't afford these mistakes as the game goes on.
Third and 8, pressure again. Fields throws, and it's intercepted. Logan Wilson with the pick, and it's first and goal, Cincinnati. Wilson down near the 7-yard line.
Oh, and he got fooled by a dropping D-lineman linebacker pulling out of the front there. Watch this. He thinks he's got an easy completion to his shallow crosser, but he doesn't account for this guy right here. Watch him drop back out right underneath it. He lost vision on him.
Logan Wilson with the pick did the rest.
Logan Wilson fools a young rookie, flips the field. Now we got a ball game again, Kev.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to Fox for the highlights, the Justin Fields lowlights. I don't know what you call it, but yeah. What'd you think of the Sanchez?
Well, I think that he is a pretty good backup quarterback, pretty good insight, pretty good mentor. Remember, that was his role in Chicago. He's got opinions, but I think he'll grow on the job, just like the young quarterback we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I think you're very kind to ex-Bears quarterbacks and current ones, is what I believe. I'm with you, Justin Fields. I think he'll be fine. I, you know, as I said earlier, I think some of what was frustrating about that is the seeming lack of understanding of how to use the guy. I just, you mentioned they drafted him in April. That's like 5 months plus that they've had to pick out different ideas and do different things. And clearly they weren't prepared for Andy Dalton to leave the field. I just felt that they didn't use the quarterback as well as they could have. And as well, I think we didn't see as much as we're going to see. I think Justin Fields is going to end up being a great player for the Bears. But I do think that we saw the reasons that Matt Nagy doesn't play him, that he's not the kind of pocket passer that Nagy envisions when he puts together his game plans. And I don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fields. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are really delighted that we get to Justin Fields. I just don't know that we're going to see enough plays. I just don't know that we're going to see enough creativity, enough usage of him that in the proper fashion that will take advantage of all his skill set. And I think that I'm a little surprised that didn't happen, frankly, David. I was surprised they didn't get more done with Justin Fields.
Well, there was more tentativeness than I think we expected. There was a lack of maybe preparation on behalf of the Bears' offensive game planning that I think we didn't expect. I think that, you know, everybody else was ready for Justin Fields to take over and to play. It didn't seem like the Bears were. And I think we saw some of the reasons why Matt Nagy has been so deliberate in wanting to play Justin Fields, the rookie, because some of the things about game management and just total command that we assumed were there weren't there. So if we objectively are looking at this, that he played like a rookie and his numbers reflected that and the execution reflected that. He did have a touchdown pass by Allen Robinson that would have been a nice catch. The defender got his arm in there. I don't know if that factored in. It looked like a drop that would have changed his numbers and maybe changed our perception. But Justin Fields is a young quarterback, and there are going to be very high highs and very low lows. There's going to be an extreme range until he develops more consistency. It looks like he'll get the opportunity to do that. Andy Dalton was consistent, and if healthy, I think he probably will start. I don't know that for sure, but I think if Andy Dalton is healthy, he didn't play poorly enough to lose his job, but I don't know if the Bears want to go that direction. It's early in the week. Let's wait and see. But until we do, I think that you look at what the Bears are offensively, and if they are going to play with Justin Fields, they've got to make some alterations to that offense.
312-644, excuse me, 6767. We'll start with Doug. Doug's on the road. Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you win.
Hey, just a couple of comments here. I feel bad for Fields. I really feel bad for that kid. There is absolutely no way that he's ever going to reach his potential with Matt Nagy as a coach. Matt Nagy is an idiot. He is one of the dumbest people on earth. He walks around like he's a bald-headed genius, and he ruined Mitch Trubisky. This guy has no business coaching anything. And Justin Fields will never get better under Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy can ruin Patrick Mahomes. He's no good. He's worthless. And he needs to be run out of Chicago.
Wow.
Thanks for your opinion, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Try to avoid the name calling. Matt Nagy has some shortcomings, but he's not an idiot. And let's see if he's up for the challenge. That's the way I would look at it if I were Matt Nagy. I mean, it's a challenge to him now to adjust and adapt, and I don't know any offensive coach that wouldn't want to coach Justin Fields. Stop laughing.
I can't help it. I find it amusing. I got to be honest with you. I think Matt Nagy, the best thing he could do would be to give up play calling duties and start being a full-time head coach. I think that's the role. I don't understand why he came back to be the play caller. I understand why he likes being a play caller. I think he ascended to that position in Kansas City. He did it for half a year, and then he comes to Chicago and he thinks, this is why they want me, this is my skill. And I got to be honest with you, I think once he stopped being the play caller last year, it would have been the better move to remain as the head coach and worry only about everything going on instead of staring at the play sheet.
There's the appearance of having more ego than I think people anticipated. You know, I think that's part of it. Is that unfair? Because I think that he doesn't really view himself as somebody who can't help this team and win games by calling plays. He doesn't think anybody else can do it as well as he can. And I don't know if that's necessarily the right conclusion to draw based on what we've seen. So here we are in year four. And what we talked about in preseason remains even truer today as Justin Fields gets ready to take over. The star of this offense is no longer the scheme if Justin Fields is your quarterback.
Yeah, I think you wrote that last week. I think it's relevant now. I think now more than ever, I hope that the coach understands that, and I have my doubts. I just don't want to see them try to fit Justin Fields into what they're doing. I want to see them, and I'm talking about Matt Nagy. I'm not talking about everybody, but that I want to see him actually try to come up with a game plan that suits him more than it suits them, if that makes any sense.
And by that you mean moving the pocket, bootlegs, taking some shots down the field, taking advantage of the run-pass options, RPOs. Look, if you want a blueprint for what Justin Fields should play, what offense he should play in, and what he may look like one day, a trailer to his movie, the Baltimore Ravens last night gave a pretty good glimpse. You know, Lamar Jackson is a former MVP and as dangerous as they come, and that may be to some people rolling their eyes and saying you're overstating it, but that is the model. You want him to be as dangerous with the Bears as Lamar Jackson is for the Ravens. Absolutely, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Olin Krutz, we'll talk to him a little bit later in the show. I thought he made a great point when we talked about in the pregame, you know, setting up the battle up front, for instance. You know, you're talking about a team in the Cincinnati Bengals that went out and signed a lot of guys in free agency that invested heavily in the defensive line. They've got a DJ Reader there. They gave him a 4-year, $53 million contract before the start of last season. And now here he is. He makes more money alone in terms of cap hit than the entire Bears offensive line. So you've got to, if you're not investing in a position, you've got to be aware of not being too reliant upon it against another group that may have been heavily invested in. It was like $160 million in contracts that they gave up for that defensive line over the course of the last few years, and promised money. But the Bears have done nothing like that. They don't have a star on the offensive line. They don't. How do you combat that? Part of it is by getting rid of the ball. Part of it is by not holding on to the ball. And I think that when you talk about Justin Fields in the pocket, that's the problem. And I'm not saying that it's all his fault, but he is holding the ball a hell of a lot longer than Andy Dalton is.
Oh, definitely. And that you saw yesterday. And I think both of us are kind of qualifying what sounds like criticism of Justin Fields because so many people are so defensive about his skill set. But you know what? You're right. I mean, he held on to the ball too long at times. And yet you will forgive that. And you can live with that because of the way that he can and is capable of eluding the rush and avoiding those sacks. So those offensive linemen don't look as bad as they possibly could. I was sitting next to Jay Hilgenberg in the press box yesterday. And at one point when Justin Fields escaped the sack and he ran downfield, and it wasn't the final game, but it was one of those times where he escaped the sack. Jay just started chuckling to himself. He's like, offensive linemen love those guys because, you know, nobody wants to give up.
Yeah,
it bails them out. And you're going to see more of that, but that can't be the way you make your living. You've got to have a mixture of both and everything. And Justin Fields will get rid of the ball quicker once he gains some experience.
John is in Joliet. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. From a fan's point of view, I mean, after 2 years and the tailgating and the beautiful skyline yesterday and the atmosphere, I mean, it was amazing. It was. But from the game point of view, you guys were right at when you guys were discussing it earlier this morning. I mean, the out-of-bounds play by Quinn, you know, coming out of the huddle – so many offsides. We had so many offside plays. I'm like, guys, you're coming out of the huddle and you're forgetting what the count is. I mean, just I'm happy they won. I am. And I know there's a lot of work to be done with this team, but there are an awful lot of mistakes. And, you know, Chicago, I think we're a defensive town. We love to see the defense do their thing, and they did, and Roquan scored that touchdown. I walked out of there happy as a Jaybird, but there's a lot of work to be done, and I'm sure you guys will discuss that. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, John. Yeah, yeah. There is work to be done. There's no question about it, and I think that that he's spot on. You know, they had 8 penalties for 70 yards. I hate that sort of thing. You know, the taunting penalty was stupid, okay? You're just clapping over a guy. But, you know, the NFL is now this ultra-sensitive league where, you know, they think that that's going to create some sort of Tony La Russa-type situation where you're looking for to get back at someone for something. And I don't know. I don't know why they're doing that, but they're doing that. The Quinn thing, he was running out of bounds, and Burrow saw him. And Burrow was smart enough to throw a shoulder yes. into him and yes. get knocked down.
Of course.
But you're not – what are you doing there? Why?
I know.
You know, what are you doing escorting him? Get the hell away from him on the sideline. That was like so far out of bounds, it was ridiculous. And, again, the quarterback got him. It wasn't like he went after the guy. But you can't put yourself in that position where someone's going to get you.
Burrow was nominated quickly for an Emmy that he didn't win last night because that was a great acting job.
He lost to Ted Lasso, yeah.
But you've got to really understand and know your audience, and if they're enforcing taunting, then you don't want to say anything that could be confused as taunting. The penalties are bothersome. The biggest the thing the defense is going to build off of, 4 sacks and 4 takeaways. That was shades of 2018. That's the kind of defense the Bears need to play, frankly, to carry an offense that is trying to once again redefine what it is and knowing what it isn't.
Let's squeeze in Kevin. He's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mully, I agree with you. He has to give up play calling. And I'm super excited about Fields, but dude has to get rid of the ball or he's definitely going to get hurt. I mean, because that is just, he just holds on to it way too long and he's going to get hurt. And I think right now, and Olin said it in pregame yesterday, Mully, you were on with him. I think the best player on this defense unquestionably is Roquan Smith. And even though Khalil Mack did some stuff yesterday, he is not the same guy he was in that Green Bay game when he made his debut. He's just different. He's not the same. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, we got to get to the pick six. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Yeah, staying aggressive. That's kind of our mindset. Like,
when asked by our own David Haw about a decision to throw on third down late in the game, a disastrous decision that led a Justin Fields interception followed by a Bengals touchdown that put the game in danger late, Matt Nagy used his catch-all phrase about staying aggressive, as you heard in that clip there. Is this his way of justifying every questionable decision? Do you suspect Nagy got bored of running the ball and relying on defense?
Great job, David. I don't know why that didn't come up at all earlier, and you got to it. I that was a profound moment in the game. It just was it was nuts to me, and you wrote about it at 670 The Score. I mean, why not win the game? Why? What are you doing? Throwing the ball there on third down. You know, you run there, and, you know, the running back, first of all, listen, you're not going to get a first down. I understand what the situation was. But the running back is running his rear end off, who knows, and you basically force them to call their last time out. Then you punt the ball and you rely on your defense. And even if they march down the field and score a touchdown, how much time is gone off the clock by that point? So I just didn't understand the idea of throwing the ball in that situation, and it ends in an interception. And the next thing you know, they've got a touchdown immediately, and you're sitting there like, oh my God! And you needed that great play from Justin Fields just to make sure you could eat the time off the clock. So, you know, all's well that ends well, but it underscored what was an act of madness, frankly, in terms of just closing down a game. And I think the coach gets bored. I think he doesn't love the running game. Hey, that like I said earlier, it's a hell of a defensive front, and they did ultimately a really good job on the run game and, of course, against the pass. But come on, man, that's not playing to win the game. That's playing for, you know, more glory, and we're going to do this and that. You think about the entire team, not just your offense.
It wasn't the time to be aggressive and bold. It was the time to be safe and boring. It wasn't the time to take a risk. It was the time to put things away. Your defense was dominating. Your rookie quarterback was struggling. Give him a hand. Give him some help. Don't ask him to read a blitz and then get fooled by the disguise of that blitz and then throw an interception that makes the last 3.5 minutes a lot more harrowing than it needed to be. Your job as a head coach is to decrease the degree of difficulty, not increase it. And I think Matt Nagy put his team in the worst possible situation it could have. 3 minutes, 50 seconds left. They only have 2 timeouts. Run the football, punt it. The punt is not a bad play. I know offensive coaches hate it, but when Matt Nagy realizes that Matt Nagy, the play caller, is limiting his success as Matt Nagy, the head coach, then we'll get to the point where he's not making these kinds of decisions. You don't call a pass there. You don't ask him to make a play in the pocket where he has struggled all day. That was a big moment to me in the game, very telling. And the Bears are frankly very lucky the Bengals didn't make him pay for it.
The pick six for Roquan Smith.
Which feeling should carry the day for Bears fans? Joy and relief over the defense looking dominant again, or frustration and concern over Matt Nagy's play calling and Justin Fields' shaky home debut?
Well, look, it is very hard to win in the National Football League. As Matt Nagy said, it's hard to win in this stinking league. Yes, it is. So that is what's going to carry the day. That is the focus, and I think the defense took the spotlight. They said, okay, look at us, because we are back. In their minds, let them enjoy this, because their pride was damaged. Their ego was bruised. They stunk against the Los Angeles Rams on national television. 34 points. They got back at 5 in the morning, and then they spent all week listening to how overrated they were. And they were. And they were. I don't know if they still are, but 4 sacks, 4 takeaways. They've got depth. They had 9 quarterback hits by 8 different guys. This is a defense that came ready to play against the Bengals offense. They had played pretty well in week 1 with the NFL's leading rusher. They shut down Joe Mixon. They took care of Joe Burrow. And that, to me, was the story of the day. The defense in the Bears' minds is back.
Yeah, I think that there was a lot to like about it. Winning is everything in the NFL. And when you get a win, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? Every win is like a newborn child, and it's beautiful, and you love it. And you need wins, and you need to be dominant at home, and you need to establish that. I got to tell you, we downplay this idea of you can't have a must win in the second game of the season. That was almost like a must win. You really needed that game. That changes the entire tenor of everything going on around you, and it really kind of solves a lot of your issues. If you go in and you get a win at Cleveland, then you're coming home to Detroit. Now you're really talking about a season. So you got to feel really good about getting the first win of the year. I wouldn't pick apart all the little things. I think they're there, and we got to talk about them. But above all else, it's the win.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. The Bears took that opening drive, 75 yards. It covered 5 minutes, and it ended on an 11-yard TD pass by Andy Dalton to Robinson. Bears went up 7-0. Dalton would leave the game because of a knee injury. Fields took over. He did finish that game 6-for-13 for 60 yards. He also ran for 31 yards, and he ended the game with a run that sealed the deal. The defense won the takeaway battle 4-1. Roquan Smith, an interception, 53 yards for his first career touchdown. Bears win the game again 20-17. An early report from Ian Rappaport this morning is a bone bruise for Andy Dalton, so we'll keep an eye on Dalton's health all week. Other games of note, Vikings start the year off 0-2, fall 34-33 to the Cardinals. The Vikings did think they won the game on the broadcast. We'll take a listen to that sound maybe later on this morning. Packers host the Lions Monday Night Football. Listen to it right here on The Score. Magic number for the White Sox is now 4. They beat the Rangers on Sunday 7-2. Tonight, Carlos Rodon throws in Detroit. The Cubs are off. Yesterday, they won in Milwaukee 6-4 over the Brewers. They start a series at home against the Twins on Tuesday. Football returns to Wrigley. It does it this fall. The Cats host Purdue. Buy tickets at NUSports.com.
Pick 6 on a house call for Roquan Smith.
The Bears committed 8 penalties for 70 yards against, including a couple of real doozies, a taunting penalty on Tashaun Gibson, and a personal foul for a sideline hit on Robert Quinn. Is that acceptable? Who do you blame for that?
It's unacceptable, and I guess it comes down to coaching. Penalties are coaching, and you got to make sure that your guys understand not to do that sort of thing. Hey, they had a couple of issues with the center quarterback exchange. It was kind of weird. I think you need to get to the bottom of that and find out what's going on. If the quarterback believes the ball should be in his hand and no one else seems to agree with that. So I think there were, those were the two big ones, the kind of dumb ones that you just got to get rid of. And, I heard Olin, we'll talk to him a little bit later. I heard him on the NBC Sports Chicago postgame say that sometimes there can be like a bad penalty that's good that you can say, okay, that's all right. You told that guy, hey, you said you were going to run by me and I got you. We're gonna cover for you. We're gonna make sure that's okay. You don't have to worry about it. He was basically saying that if you have a penalty that fires up a team, even if it's a dumb one, sometimes that fires up a team and that makes it okay. I think they had too many penalties. I think that they've got some issues all over the field. Especially you worry about the offensive line. How about Jason Peters playing as much as he did? I thought that was exceptional.
Olin condoning trash talking? I am shocked. I tell you, shocked. Look, I agree with you, and I always think that coaching penalties are about coaching. You want more discipline. You want to have players who aren't going to make the mistakes that Tayshaun Gibson and Robert Quinn did yesterday. At the same time, that said, these guys showed very little common sense. Tayshaun Gibson, if they're going to enforce taunting, don't say anything. Celebrate with your teammates. Don't say anything if you know that that is going to be a point of emphasis, as silly as it might be. As much as the NFL wants to distance himself from every other sports league that is understanding what is going on in terms of celebrations, if it's silly, you still have to adhere to the rule. And Robert Quinn, get as far away from a quarterback as you possibly can and the sidelines when you're 3 yards out of bounds, and don't lean a shoulder into a guy. And then Joe Burrow, as we said, did the flop of the year, and he's going to go down. But it's coaching, but it's also common sense of these veterans.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Did the Bears answer the question as to whether or not they are an overrated defense? How important were the four takeaways to the Bears' victory? Can you count on filling the turnover bucket like that every week?
You can't. You can't count on doing it every week. You want to try to do that every week. That's the first time I think the Bears were +3 in turnover margin in like 2 years. So it's obviously something that doesn't happen every week. But this week, they can say they are no longer overrated. But it's only this week. It's only one game. It's only four quarters. So you've got to build off it, but you haven't accomplished anything. You beat the Bengals at home, okay? You took advantage of a young quarterback having a bad day. You picked off three passes in a row. Congratulations. Do it again. Because you underachieved 1 week. You overachieved the next. Now you've got the Browns and the challenge that Baker Mayfield represents, even with the receiving core that's injured. Take advantage. Pressure the passer. Create your own mistakes and create those opportunities.
You answered that perfectly, David. I can't add much more other than to say that it is a week to week. We're all week to week, and we'll find out if they're overrated next week. That's all that matters. Keep filling up the bucket, though. God bless you.
Pick six.
Lucas Giolito thought Sunday's 7-2 win over the Rangers could be a turning point for the White Sox and spoke openly that this team won't take its foot off the gas like last year's team did. With 13 games left, do you agree? Why or why not?
Yeah, I don't think they've had their foot on the gas for a while. I think that they have taken their foot off the gas, and I think that they just got to get clinched and get ready for the postseason. That's it.
I love Lucas Giolito when he talks postgame. He's the kind of guy that tells you when you got like salad in your teeth, like, you know, you're talking to him like, hey, you know, you get, there's something right there. He's going to confront the issues in front of him. The elephant in the room will be acknowledged. And the White Sox took their foot off the gas last year, and it was a problem. This year, 13 games ago, it's not, oh, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to remember that. It's like, you know what? Let's not let this happen again. Let's build off this, and from this day forward, no letdowns. Intensity high, okay? No matter who's pitching, no matter who's playing, no matter what crazy lineups are constructed, you've got to be intense because you don't want to have a letdown again.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Two veteran scribes weighed in over the weekend about David Ross's job security, implying that it possibly could be in danger if the rebuild includes prolonged losing. What do you think about Ross's job security and the effect of the rebuild on his win-loss record?
You know, we love Gordon, and we do love Sully. I was amused to see them both address David Ross and his longevity. I was even more amused to see Gordon harken back to the Dale Swaim days when he was a guy who was deemed not to be the man for the job in the Cubs rebuild. I don't see any connection. I understand it makes for some good reading, and there's some interesting quotes from David Ross about where he stands and what his status is, but I don't see any comparison. Jed Hoyer, for goodness sakes, called David Ross a star before this all began. I don't think that was by accident either. I think they wanted to reinforce confidence in him, do what they had to do, and let him know that he was the guy they plan on keeping around for, you know, however long he's willing to stay.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's a strange job because you go from having this great team and you're just sort of trying to motivate them to basically in the situation where you are now. I think he's doing a pretty good job of keeping the team together. I don't see them quitting the way a lot of teams do. But, you know, we're all day to day. Let's get back to that idea. I don't know that that David Ross wants to go through this much longer. I wouldn't, but I think it's a great job that he's got. It might be his choice. It might be their choice. Let's see if there is job security. It's a great thing to keep an eye on because it is going to affect them. All right, we got to get back to the calls. 312-644-6767. What do you think of your Chicago Bears, Chicago? It's Mully and Haw. Victory Monday on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Am I pleased with how I played? I don't think I'm pleased with how I played at all. You know, I think there's a lot more in me that I have to show. And, you know, I know that's going to come with time. I know it's not going to happen overnight, so I'm just going to keep grinding. And, you know, no matter what happens, I know I'm meant for this. And I'm meant to be here. I think, you know, kind of my path here has been crazy. When I was younger, I never thought I'd be in this position. So I'm here for a reason, and I definitely think that I can play better. And I just think that this is the beginning. So I'm definitely excited for the future and excited to get back to practice on Monday, Tuesday.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. It's a victory Monday, and Justin Fields is meant to be here. And I loved him saying that. And it is it's fated that he shall be a great player. You know, we were talking about various issues and things going on with the Bears, and you mentioned that they are 0-for-5 now on fourth downs. We saw more fourth down action from the Chicago Bears, and unfortunately, it's not going great. And you know, I got to be careful how I say this because I'm going to really get the metrics crowd upset with me. And I just think the problem you have when you start talking about what a team is going for right on fourth down and how it's 87% or whatever, you know, you look at the field and you look at the distance and you say, well, teams convert at this rate or teams convert at that rate, and that's fine. And I understand what the math of the situation is. But I think that you have to look at the personnel and you have to look at your ability to drive them off the ball. Has that been happening all game? When you've got 160 million in defensive linemen coming at you and you're less than one player offensive line, you're five less than one in terms of salary, are they going to blow that guy off the line? Are you going to make that yard? I think that you've got to take the math and apply it to your situation. And I think we're looking at things and saying teams around the league do this. You're not just a typical team around the league. You're a team that's 0-for-4 or 0-for-5, whatever it is, on fourth downs. Take that under consideration. Right. Your play calling, the people you're using and the fashion in which you're using them, ask yourself if you're going to convert, not what the league does in those situations.
Every case is different. Every case is different. So let's look at what we're talking about. It was fourth and one. Bears are in the second quarter. They lead 7-0. The ball is at the Bengals' 32-yard line. It's the first series of the second quarter. Just after Dalton injured himself, Justin Fields comes into the game. It's fourth and one at the 32-yard line, and the metrics say absolutely you go for it. And everybody who is, you know, worships at the altar of the NFL metrics and baseball metrics and basketball metrics, they say it's a no-brainer. Know your team. Know the context. Context matters. When you have a team that is struggling to score points, when you have a team like the Bengals that, you know, was calling plays as if Andy Dalton was their quarterback, you know that you are in a conservative football game. I don't know what would be wrong with trusting Cairo Santos, who hasn't missed a field goal since last year, in about a year almost, to kick a field goal, take a 10-0 lead, make it two scores, make your defense, which is playing very well, protect the lead, give him even more ammunition to rush the passer. I'm with you, Mully. I think no two fourth down calls are alike. We saw that last night. John Harbaugh, different scenario, different team. The Ravens are much different than the Bears. I think we all can agree. Lamar Jackson, much more different than anybody the Bears have yet. Fourth and one at their own 43, minute left. They're leading the Chiefs 36-35. They went for it. You know why? Because they didn't want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. I get that. A little bit more risk involved. They made it, okay? No two situations are alike, but you're exactly right. It's not always as simple as the numbers make it sound.
That's all. That's all I'm saying. And I understand what most people can do and what the numbers are in the situation, and that's great stuff to have in your hip pocket. But you also have to look at who you're playing, who you have playing, what the odds are that you're going to actually – you are going to be able to convert. It's not a simple math problem. It has to do with your team and your situation. And, you know, I think if you've got a league MVP – and different. You think you can get a yard, that's different than you got a guy that's been forced into the game, and rather than take a 10-0 lead, you're going to try to get a yard.
Great point. Yeah, you're trying to win a game that is looking like it's going to be a defensive struggle. So every field goal matters.
I like it. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We got people who want to check in. We'll start with Brendan. He's on the south side. Hi, Brendan. We lost Brendan. Sorry, we waited too long. Joe is still there, right? Joe's on in St. Charles.
Yeah, I am. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, explain to me how they could call that taunting penalty, and then 5 minutes later, you've got the whole Bears defense mugging like a bunch of fools in front of the end zone camera, and that's fine.
Well, the Bears were – I don't think they were mugging like a bunch of fools. They're celebrating. It's football. It's an emotional game, Joe. I think you have to respect that. They also were doing it amongst themselves. They weren't taunting, which implies you were belittling an opponent, which they're trying to, you know, eliminate and show more respect for your opposition. There's a big difference between celebrating with your teammates and insulting an enemy.
Yeah, NFL, no fun league. They used to ban any sort of celebration among – groups, and they've loosened up on that, and they allow it now, and so it's not unheard of for a defense to run over to a camera and everybody kind of get into it. Yeah, we got a fumble. I don't have a problem with that, and David, you defined it very well. That's exactly the answer. Rick is in Elk Grove. Hey, Rick.
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great point that you brought up, Molly and Hall, about knowing your personnel. And this is the point that I've been alluding to the last couple of weeks with some of my friends. Matt Nagy is, like, becoming the biggest cancer on the team. When you really look at it, you know, even on the fourth down call, called in the end zone, we're not getting touchdowns, we're going for field goals or turning the ball over. The guy just doesn't know the team at all, and it's stunting growth overall throughout the entire team. Obviously, we want Justin Fields to grow more than anybody else, but the morale by not knowing your personnel on the team is cancerous. It's ridiculous. I don't know what else to really say here at this point. I kind of just wanted you guys to touch base on what do the Bears do as an organization moving forward, because this is unacceptable.
Well, thanks, Rick. You know, I don't know. They did win, and I think that they took a step forward in winning with their defense. But the concerns over Matt Nagy continue to grow, I think. And the perception is being shaped that that he's more of an impediment than anything, Mully. And I think that's dangerous when you have a head coach who is kind of, you know, trending in that direction. He can do a lot with Justin Fields to change the narrative or change that direction by, you know, less is more. You know, keep it simple. And trying to just let we watched the Chiefs last night. And not to always make the Kansas City-Chicago connection, but my goodness – yeah, you can call it Andy Reid's scheme if you want, if you still insist on doing that. That's Patrick Mahomes' offense, and that is Tyreek Hill's offense, and Kelce, and all of the playmakers they have that they seem to find in the draft, and they look explosive when they get to the Chiefs because they simply, I think, look at, they let them play. They let them do their thing.
All right, we're going to bring in our guy, Brad Biggs. Biggs' time is next. We'll pull the game apart. We'll have fun with it. And we'll talk to our buddy, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.